Well, as many of you probably are aware of, yesterday was the Super Bowl, and the Los Angeles Rams played the Cincinnati Bengals. Some of you may or may not even like football, but for those of you who did watch, it was fun. But it caused me to think, because there's a winner and there's a loser in a game like that, and so I kind of made a And it may be kind of corny, but I made an analogy a little bit about the Super Bowl that we're in. And I mentioned again in that conversation with George, we're in the Super Bowl of love. And the cool thing is that we come in as the victors and the winners really before the game even begins. There's a wonderful book by E.W. Kenyon that I thought I could read a little bit from. The New Kind of Love, with a subtitle, The Solution of the Love Problem, Human Love is Bankrupt. So I'm going to call this teaching SBOL, Super Bowl of Love. Love has never given birth to any pain. It's never wantonly crushed or broken the tender flower of faith that grows in the heart of trust. This love life is God actually living himself in us as he lived in Jesus Christ. There was a ruggedness about the master and yet a gentle tenderness that caused children to climb up into his arms and put their hands on his face. They longed to fondle him, to hold his hand, and to be near him. The love that was in the man of Galilee is the love that is to rule the church, rule the home, and rule this heart of mine. Love is to the human heart what flowers are to the hillside. Flowers cover the naked, ragged places in the soil. They grow around the rocks. They grow among the roots. They cover up the wounds in the earth's surface. They cover the clay and bleak soil with a garment of glory and royalty, lustrous beauty. So love covers the ragged rough spots in the human. Love is the reason for the flower garden, just as love was the reason for the flower's being. Love gathers the flowers and arranges them to please the eye and make glad the heart. Love makes the home beautiful. Love comes and lives in the home to keep it a place of happiness. Love is the most beautiful thing. It may be the most fragile, yet it has the most enduring strength of anything which we know. So if you have your Bible there with you, I wanted to take a quick look at 1 John, especially in chapter 4. I went through the book of 1 John, it's been a number of months ago now, and I looked at every place that the word love and the word loveth and the word beloved is used, and I found it in 1 John used 54 times. It's really something. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And chapter 5 as well. There's a bunch of them in there. So I thought maybe we just kind of look through a couple of them because we're in the love business. We're experts in love. The Spirit of God that's been born within us has given us the ability to love and to love with the love of God and to love like Jesus Christ loved people. And boy, if there was ever a time that the world needed that, today is that time. I mean, that could have been said yesterday, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but we live now. And so we have to take advantage of every moment that we have to live. And in Galatians it says that love energizes faith. It's that thing that ignites that fire within us to keep striving for the best. Like I said, we've already got the victory. So we start from a place of victory, but we walk fearlessly with boldness because we have that great love. Look in 1 John chapter 4. And verse 4, this verse doesn't use the word love, but boy, it communicates a great truth. says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. That's the Christ in you, the nature of God, the love of God that's in you. It overcomes everything, and it's greater in us than he that's in the world. The enemy, he's a little bug. He's under our feet. We recognize him and we squash him real quick. And one of the greatest weapons that we have is the love of God. Verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. I heard it once said that love is the badge of Christianity. It's the thing that I believe drew people to Jesus. He was a great spokesman, made a tremendous amount of analogies, you know, but he was a loving man of God because he declared the Father, and the nature of the Father is that not God is just loving, but God is love. God is love. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed that love that God has to us. Here it is. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, hates his brother, he's not telling the truth, he's lying. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God, loves his brother also. Now, I didn't count up the number of times that the word love is used in those verses that we just read, but there does seem to be a predominant theme, would you agree, throughout the chapter of 1 John? I mean, it's almost like in some of these verses, it's mentioned four times. But how cool is that in verse 18 that says, there's no fear in love. Because perfect love, that love of God, casts out fear. Once we were told, fear is the believer's greatest enemy. It is sand in the machinery of life. It defeats the promises of God. But you know what? We have love. Perfect love. So whenever and wherever we have fear, maybe it'd be a good idea to engage with God and not try to overcome in our own strength, but allow the strength of God to energize us to overcome. We need a big dose vertically so that horizontally we can live in power and we can live in boldness. Really something. We'll go back to chapter 3. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It's happening right now. Right now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. we are where we are today because of the great love of God, the way God has loved us, which he exemplified in the giving of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we got born again, we received an entirely new nature, just like that book by Kenyon said. It's a new kind of love. It's something that's been given to us freely as a result of the new birth. You know, love made that tomb, that darksome, dreaded tomb where death held sway, a beautiful thing. Love stripped death of its terror. Love made the naked, thorn-crowned man in Galilee the king of lonely hearts. My heart calls him the naked king of the storm-tossed, broken human. Love made me crown him, not with thorns, but with my heart's devotion. Love drives that delicate, tender spirit into the darkest heathenism of Africa to endure every privation, to be shut along with heathen minds that have no sense of appreciation, no touch of love, just cold indifference and selfish greed. And yet that love spirit lives and thrives and pours itself out until that dark place blossoms with all the tender fragrance of the new creation. Bob had mentioned, I believe, yesterday about our beloved brother there in Africa and Kenya, Anthony Sakwa. What a wonderful man of God. And I think how energized and how real love is in that particular environment that he lives. And we also have a brother there, Robert Wilkinson, who has gone in there to teach about the Holy Spirit field. And he has seen tremendous fruit, tremendous results, because he's walking in love. He's energized by love. He loves those people. And God is working with him. See? So is love the mightiest thing among the mighty, the most beautiful thing among the beautiful? It is this God nature ascending and gaining the ascendancy in the heart of man. Unbelievable, guys. This is one of the most beautiful things that we've ever experienced and ever been given. And I remember our brother Ken saying many times in Ephesians chapter 2 that it's going to take all of eternity for God, that we'll be on display and God will be displaying us as an example of his kindness and his goodness. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to give. We've only got one life to live, and that is to give it to God our Father in service to the body of Christ and to the world at large. So, got to be somebody out there that we can love and help and have an influence on. I want to read a quick story here, kind of an example of somebody who did something that I felt like was pretty loving. It communicates. Obviously, this is not written from my point of view, but another person wrote this. I saw a dress in a consignment shop that I knew my granddaughter would love. But money was tight, so I asked the store owner if she could hold it for me. "May I buy the dress for you?" asked another customer. "Thank you, but I can't accept such a gracious gift," I said. Then she told me why it was so important for her to help me. She'd been homeless for 3 years, she said, and had it not been for the kindness of strangers, she would not have been able to survive. "I'm no longer homeless, and my situation has improved," she said. "I promised myself that I would repay the kindness so many had shown me." She paid for the dress, and the only payment she would accept in return was a heartfelt hug. You know, we don't know the circumstances, environments of how love manifests itself. In that situation, wasn't a great healing, wasn't a great miracle. It was just an interaction that happened to be two people in a moment of time. Well, you know what? We had an interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ in a moment of time, and it changed everything. Love is a energizing force that continues to breed growth and prosperity and change and transformation. So we're in the Super Bowl of love. And I just thought that was such a cute little way to remember that we're the world's greatest lovers with the greatest things to be able to love people with. So, you know, take it to heart and, you know, remember who you are, what you've been given. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this gracious and good gift that we've been receiving. You've imparted part of your nature to us, Father, and that we can walk and talk with you now, and we can go out into this world wherever we are. And whatever it looks like, Father, that we can share the love of God with whomever, however, wherever it may be. And Father, we pray that our steps may be guided by you and that we're aware and still enough in our hearts to hear you, Father, and as we walk through these doors, that there will be great great outreach and also great fruit that comes as a result. And I thank you, Lord, for this tonight and for the days and weeks and months to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.